Podcast.
Welcome to the December festive edition of the Q3 Podcast. I'm your host, Russ Mars, and I'm joined by Mike Mason.
Hello.
Adam Riley.
Good evening.
Rudy LaVue.
Hey, everyone.
And Aaron Elias.
All right, guys.
This month, we discuss Nintendo news and recent big Nintendo releases. But firstly, let's talk about Miyamoto's change of role at Nintendo, which was announced yesterday, where he will be now making smaller, or focus on smaller games, and work with new employers.
Yeah, I think he's still retaining his sort of stance in overlooking certain aspects of Nintendo, but he's wanting to enter direct game development again, which is something that he's not done for a while, because a lot of the time recently he's been in more of a position where he's saying yes and no to other people's ideas rather than coming up with his own ideas. So he's going back to doing small games and even possibly games the size of which he could do himself.
Maybe something for the eShop.
Yeah, I can pretty much imagine him filling up the eShop by himself.
I'd hope so, because there's not much good software on there yet.
It started coming. But, I mean, I'm sure he's got plenty of ideas that he's just not been able to put into motion.
Like Wii Fit Plus 2?
No, it's totally different stuff.
Yeah.
So what was the last totally original idea we had from Miyamoto, really? I mean, we've obviously had the Wii line of stuff. He's had a big part in that. But I suppose before that it would have been like Nintendogs, really.
Well, I mean, his last big thing was Wii Fit, wasn't it? Where it was his idea to do the balance board, because he loved the way that Japanese sumo wrestlers, they couldn't weigh themselves on one set of scales, so they had to use two. And he thought it would be a really cool idea of managing to try and kind of balance your weight on both of the scales at the same time.
He created Woohoo Island as well, which he claims is a character.
Which I think is a bit of a controversial point with many people, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also he's involved in Wii Music, obviously, which is in itself a controversial subject, because it's crap.
For the sake of diplomacy, let's call it limited.
Yeah. I stand by my choice.
Choice of words.
But yeah, I think this is a positive step for him, really, because I mean the news originally came out that he'd retired full stop, and the internet exploded for about 10 minutes until it became apparent that it was a mistranslation and Nintendo denied it and they hadn't published the full interview. But I think this is definitely a positive step, because you know, he has just been stuck looking after everybody else so far, and I think really they've got to a point where the Mario teams and the Zelda teams, they can handle themselves, really.
Yeah, because even Onuma, there was that interview in Game Informer where he mentioned that he wants to make the Zelda series more of his own now. Miyamoto has basically handed it to him, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at that, you've got Eiji Onuma covering Zelda. It looks like Grezzo, which is headed up by Koichi Ishii, the guy that used to do Secret of Mana at Square Enix. They're looking after maybe the handheld side, because there's rumours of Majora's Mask being ported to 3DS as well. You've got the Mario games that are generally being looked after by the Nintendo Tokyo studio. Everything's kind of being dispersed. Donkey Kong has now gone over to Retro Studios. Retro even helped out with Mario Kart. Miyamoto is, I think, maybe just having a bit of a general hands-on, just a little bit of input on everything, and it's nice that he wants to go back to his roots and do, like, you know, more, you know, full projects himself again.
I'm wondering as well if he'd maybe make a 3DS Pikmin game, do you think?
Possibly.
That's quite interesting, that, because I don't know if any of you other than Mike has played Kirby Mass Attack.
I really want it. But not
Rudy, Aaron, have you seen much about it or played it at all?
No, I haven't, I'm afraid.
No.
I wasn't too interested in it personally.
It plays similar to how, and I think Mike will agree with me here, how I imagined a Pikmin game would play on DS.
Yeah, 2D Pikmin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you've got your 10 little Kirbys, and you can send them off in different directions, and you need a certain amount of characters to overpower certain enemies or open up different paths throughout the level. It's a very clever little game. So yeah, I'd love to see Pikmin on 3DS. That would be quite cool, especially after the puzzle swap panel that gave a nice 3D impression of Pikmin.
Yeah, well, and also there was, when you transfer data with the 3DS, it also all does that through the Pikmin as well. So there are definitely hints that Pikmin could come to 3DS at some point. I think they probably want to get the Wii U version out of the way first, though.
Yeah, I think the Wii U version is going to be more interesting as well because of the controller. But the 3DS, I can't see where they could go with that because it's just the 3D.
Touchscreen.
Wow.
Yeah, touchscreen mechanics for a strategy game are perfect.
That's true. For example, Plants vs. Zombies, the DS version, actually thinks the best version of that game. I've tried the PS3 version. It looks gorgeous, obviously, the HD graphics, but just something about those touch controls, it just works perfect.
Well, it was designed for like direct control anyway, really, because of it was released on PC with, you know, direct cursor control and on iPad.
But people were talking about the eShop and how there's a lack of content on there at the moment. It seems to be picking up. There's been a few new releases recently, a couple from Nintendo as well. There's that Freaky Forms, Your Creation's Alive, and Pull Blocks was just released for it as well. Some interesting little games by, I think Pull Blocks is by Intelligent Systems.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it is.
So there's a few options that are coming on there, and the 3D classics as well. See, there's a lot on offer, I feel, from the download side. And this morning and yesterday, it depends on which region you were in, that fantastic little blue light was there on my 3DS. And it's like, oh, wow, fantastic. Time to download a new update. Nintendo, for those that haven't read the latest news, have kindly updated the 3DS. So we can do things like record 3D video now. There are new puzzle swap tiles that are more difficult than before. And there is a Street Pass Quest 2. What else is it? There's an achievements mode, isn't there? But it's not called achievements. They've given it a slightly different name.
Accomplishments for the Mii Plaza, but they're not system-wide. They're just for the Mii Plaza.
Yes, okay. There's some quite difficult ones on there to achieve. Like, you have to, collect a Mii from 10 different countries, or collect a Mii from every region of your own country. And there's some quite interesting challenges in there that will hopefully encourage people to take their 3DS with them wherever they go, yeah, even abroad. I don't know. When the 3DS first came out, did you like me? Did you all jump straight into this Mii Plaza and you start playing, through Street Pass Quest and trying to get all the tiles, or did you just ignore it?
I did it all.
How about you, Ross? Were you interested in doing that? Did you carry your 3DS around with you?
I wanted to be interested because the features are great. I love the Quest, can't remember what it's called. Street Pass Quest.
Yeah.
And
RPG, yeah.
I love the puzzle swap idea, but where I live, no one's got a 3DS, basically. So I have to do your mesh for the Shakeroo method.
Yeah. classic technique.
to get coins. But the problem is with puzzle swap, as I mentioned last month's podcast, to get a new picture, you have to street pass with someone. So I've only one picture. Well, two now, because Nintendo kindly gives you a piece for one of the new puzzle swap images, which came with the update. But yeah, for me, they're great features, but they're features that are great more for people that can actually street pass.
Well, other aspects have been brought in. You've got the music player, which I think is a lovely little addition, because some of the music, especially in Street Pass Quest, some of the music's fantastic. It really is quite reminiscent of some of the old SNES classics.
Yeah, I've got the battle music in my head now.
Yeah, there's some brilliant tunes, and the fact that Nintendo has listened to user feedback and brought in something like this is great. What I've not tested is, are you able to keep the music playing when you shut the 3DS lid?
I don't know.
Because that would be a bit of, that would be good if you could. It'd be a missed opportunity if you can't.
I'm betting that you can't.
That might be one for, maybe for readers to try out and let us know in the comments section. But the biggest thing for me is Street Pass Quest 2. I thoroughly, thoroughly adored the first, version of it. It was such a refreshing idea. And it was, what a wonderful surprise to find hidden away, because it was hidden away within the 3DS. Street Pass Quest 2, this time, rather than just saving the king, you now have to save the king's son and daughter, who, comically, are your me character. with wigs on.
I thought this was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Really caught me by surprise.
Yeah, same here.
But what I really like about Street Pass Quest 2, from what I've played of it so far, is the fact that, you know, it's now got branching paths throughout the storyline. Mm. It's not just a case of you are just following this dungeon through. It's now there are multiple routes to take. And also I like the upgrades that they've put in the battle system, wherein you can pull in potions to block an enemy's magic, or you can team up with other Miis that are in the queue and do group attacks. Yep. You can hire back old heroes that, you know, from, say, a friend that you met 2 weeks ago and you've not seen them since. You can hire that Mii back rather than street passing them again.
Oh, that's a good addition.
For instance, I've been using Mike's Mii character quite a lot because he's a higher level than everybody else.
Yay! So,
I've been picking Mike's dark green character and another dark green character and having them team up in every battle. And it levels them up to level 4, which is fantastic. So they are kicking the proverbial arse.
One thing I would have liked to have seen in this update is the mailbox application, like, actually downloaded within the update.
Yes.
And I was hoping the GBA games would be available on the eShop as well, because those two things for me would have made the update so much better. Because unless you're big on the Street Pass stuff, it's sort of quite dull. That makes sense.
I don't think they could really roll the Game Boy Ambassador games out with the update, because the update was for everyone, whereas the Ambassador games are just for people that had registered their 3DS before a certain point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it has to be separate anyway.
So what other updates were there? There was the 3D video. I've not tried that out. Has anyone given that a whirl yet?
I give it a go, but the cameras are just not good enough, basically. And the microphone's terrible. It really doesn't pick up your voice very well, and it's very quiet and distorted. I can see it, like Mike and Rudy said last month, being used as a sort of more of a gimmick, just to play around with and mess around, but you couldn't really do anything serious with it like Nintendo were advertising in the new promo video they put up, which showed super clear footage, which didn't look like it was coming from a 3DS camera to me.
I think I saw the same video, yeah. I tried it at home yesterday, but if there isn't any decent lighting in the room, the picture is just too muddy and really grainy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also the 3D effect is completely broken if you're trying to record something, like film something that is really up close to the camera.
Yeah, I got that too.
Yeah, because it's probably, because it needs to be a certain distance from it so that the two separate cameras can get the two separate angles in.
Yes,
on it,
absolutely.
It doesn't work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, as Ross just said, since the microphone is on the inside of the 3DS, if you're trying to record someone's talking, since the microphone is on the inside, it's oriented towards the person who is filming, so it doesn't pick up the voice of what's just in front of the cameras properly.
Right, I'm just looking through the list of other features that have been added. Now there's the ability to store your credit card information on the 3DS, which may not be ideal.
It actually stores it on the system, I think, rather than on a server, so it's more secure. But that's actually an interesting thing. They've done something that we were complaining about in a previous podcast wherein we were saying if we want to buy something off the eShop, we have to add £10 to buy a £2 game. You don't have to do that anymore. You can now just pay the amount of that game straight off the card.
Oh, you can? Oh, that's brilliant.
And that's something we were rather angry about, I think. So that's a relief. So now if you've only got 60p left in your account, but you want to pay a £2 game, you'll have to transfer the £1.40 off your card.
Oh, that's good to know, because I've had £1 left on my account ever since it came out in March. Mm. That's brilliant. Oh, thank you for letting me know that. I wasn't quite aware of that.
That's all right. I wanted to buy a 3D Classic the other day, but I've only got £3.80 on my account. So and I wasn't putting a tenner on, so I could spend an extra £1.20.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't blame you. But you can also now, you can queue up various different downloads and let them all just download in their own time in sleep mode. So you don't even need to leave the system open.
Yeah, that should have been in from the start.
Hmm.
Oh, can you play a game whilst it's downloading?
So it just says here, support for performing downloads while the system is in sleep mode and the ability to save credit card information. It doesn't elaborate.
Right.
That's a no.
Right.
So I think it's going to be no. Yeah, it means with the lid shut.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay. And then there's the friend list update, which those of us that have played Super Mario 3D Land will already know about, because it forced an update, that game did.
Mario Kart 7.
Did Mario Kart do the same thing as well?
Mario Kart 7 also forced the update, yeah.
Okay. Alright, so there's two games. So, for anyone that, again, isn't aware of this, now your online friends will be front of the queue, rather than having to scroll along to find out when you get the initial ding, 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 saying that someone's online. You don't have to scroll around looking for them, especially if you've got loads of friends. Now they are at the front of the queue, and you can jump in and join friends' online sessions. Now, those of you that have been playing Mario Kart, how smooth is that? Can you just easily jump into someone else's session?
It depends if you're already playing Mario Kart or not, because if you're already playing Mario Kart and you go to the friends list and try to select a friend, then and join their game, rather than it going back into the game and skipping in, it will actually close the entire game down before booting it back up, before trying to go in the game. And by the time it's done that, there's usually a communication error because your friends moved into another match or gone offline, or the match has filled up.
Well, Nintendo's network doesn't work properly.
I've not really had any problems with the network.
I have. I've had loads of communication errors, and it's definitely not to do with my internet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same. It's definitely not on my end, but I've had a lot of problems with Mario Kart. I actually played it, I think, yesterday, and for the first time ever, I could join from the friends list in the actual game. I could join one of my friends' matches, but previously, before that, I was having no luck whatsoever, constantly getting errors and disconnections, and it definitely wasn't on my end. So I'm hoping it's just kind of, you know, the release period issues.
Yeah.
Because it did work yesterday, like I say, so. Is it working for you okay, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, that's strange, because, I mean, the last time I played it, I think, was the start of this week.
Right.
But I got about a good hour and a half in on it on Saturday, which is the day after release, and I didn't really have too many problems. I maybe had two connection errors in the whole time.
Yeah. Once you're in, I think it's okay, because I played a good amount of races, but prior to that, no, I don't know. There's quite a few problems.
Maybe I've noticed it so much because I've put in over 30 hours of the game already in just a week. But I have had communication errors even in the middle of playing, like an online race.
Hmm. Mm, I've had a couple.
So to play 30 hours, you must be enjoying it quite a lot.
Yeah. I am when it works, but I still don't think it's as good as Mario Kart Wii. There's these little problems that just make it not as good. The online stuff, it's got watered down features. There's no time trial option now, where, you know, on the Wii version, where you could look at your friend's time trial times and you could try to beat them. That isn't even on Mario Kart 7, which I love that feature.
I thought that was supposed to be one of the Spot Pass features.
It's not. It just gets random people.
Oh.
From anywhere. Just not your actual friends. It just gets any people.
No, I thought that was one of the big features, but I mean, I've not actually played that. I've not played it as much as you, so I don't know. I've not encountered it myself, but I was sure that was one of the big things they were hyping up.
Have you tried testing that out properly, Ross, with any of your other online friends? Like, you know, making sure that they've time trialed a certain... Oh, right, fair enough.
Yeah. And the other things are... I'm not keen on the idea that you can't edit communities after you've made them. I think that would have...
In what way? You can't change the name? And you can't change the rules?
And the rules... You might accidentally, write the name wrong or something, and then you can't edit it. So then you have to create another new community.
I thought the item options were quite limited as well. I was hoping for maybe you could make a match where, or a community where you just don't have the blue shell, but that's not there. It's kind of all items, no items, only bananas, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the options are still there, but it just kind of wasn't as diverse for my liking.
It could have been like something along the lines of a Super Smash Bros. Brawl, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
Really,
yeah.
That's what you were expecting then.
Yeah, like definitely. Like, I thought that was exactly how it was going to be. It was quite a surprise, really. Mm-hmm.
But the other problem with the online, which I just remembered, is when you're waiting in a community, it has a time limit now. So you're trying to get your friends together to play. And if you wait too long, it counts down and then everyone misses out.
They're all getting communication errors and just not turning up.
Whereas in the Wii version, you could take as long as you wanted and everyone could get in. And because it didn't suffer from, I hardly got much communication errors with Mario Kart Wii. In comparison with Mario Kart 7, at least. Yeah, so I dislike that about Mario Kart 7's online.
Actually, one more minor thing. I don't know if you were going to mention, is that you can't see the players' names above the characters in the race.
Yes, that's a major one.
Yeah, I mean, you can see them on the touchscreen. If you press the touchscreen, it'll show the list of players. But if you've got like four Yoshis in a race and they're going past you, you don't know who's who. You don't know if that's Ross or Mike or whoever, unless you're looking at the map and the touchscreen, which you can't be doing. It just kind of takes away a little bit of life from the online mode for me.
Yeah, it feels like you're racing CPU players.
Yeah, exactly. You don't really. It doesn't feel the same, does it?
Yeah.
So does it sound like people are hoping for a patch to be uploaded?
Well, that'd be nice. That'd be nice, but I can't see it happening.
No, because that's Nintendo.
I definitely think it's the best online on 3DS, but when you compare it to, you know, the other online systems that we've had for a few years on PlayStation Network, for example, which is an example of another free online service, it's still a bit lacking. I mean, I think the big thing for me is, okay, I can understand why you can't communicate with random people around the world, because it could be anybody, that's fair enough. But why can't you communicate properly in communities? Why can't you do voice chat within the communities? Because you're all there for the same purpose. You're all part of the same group. You all presumably know each other or have some kind of knowledge of each other.
Yeah.
So it just strikes me as really strange. And instead, you've just got the limited communication options where you can select about, I don't know how many phrases it is, somewhere between 10 and 20 different phrases. And that's all you can do. Whereas I would expect to be able to select those limited phrases for a standard global match against strangers and actually be able to talk freely or type freely to people I actually know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone's in agreement with that.
But it's not all doom and gloom, because I do think, you know, some of the new courses, I actually think they're some of the better new courses to be in a Mario Kart game. I really like Melody Motorway. I think that's really good. Really great idea.
I liked the Cooper Road track. Is that the same one?
Yeah, the raining one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a cool one, yeah. Yeah. I like the loop tracks where they just keep going instead of doing laps. They're the ones which have three different sections to them. The Rainbow Road one is another example of that. I enjoyed those ones. So they're quite different.
Yeah, I like them ones too.
Something I'm quite disappointed about, though, is I was actually hoping that the different vehicle enhancements would have more of an effect on the game. And from the demo levels that I played originally, it did seem like that was going to be the case. But now I'm actually playing the final thing. I don't think it really makes too much difference if you're racing underwater or not. I don't really think it adds that much to it. And I think the gliding's too, I think the gliding's too limited to add anything to it because, for an example, in one track that I was on, there was, you shoot up into the air and beneath you there's a big U-turn. And I was thinking, okay, well I'll zip over the U and land on the other side because I had enough air behind, underneath me to do it. But then as soon as I got over that gap, Lakitu just turned up and picked him up and plucked me back on the track. And it's like, well, what's the point in having a hang glider if I can't even utilise that properly to get a decent shortcut out of it?
Yeah, exactly. I was just thinking the same. You'd have thought that it made more shortcuts to use the glider and things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know I like to bring it up all the time, but if you look at something like Excitebots, then, and you use a hang glider in that, then there are multiple courses and multiple routes throughout the courses, or the tracks are wide enough to take advantage of that hang glider. But I don't think they are in here. It's still very much a fixed track that you have to stick to.
Yeah. See, I find it quite interesting that Retro Studios were involved with this, whilst Monster Games were involved with Pilot Wings Resort, because part of me feels that maybe it should have been the other way around.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say, actually. And I was really glad that Mike brought up that idea about Monster Games, because really I think that they should be looking at Excitebots and all the great gameplay ideas in there. The very original kind of racing game that it is. And probably hand over the development of the next Mario Kart game to Monster Games.
Yeah, if they're wanting to start doing these vehicle enhancements and things like that, then yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, if you look at Monster Games' track record, they purely did racing games, that was it. That's their forte. Yeah. It's a little bit like Firebrand, the Scottish developer. They focus on racing games as well. It's their strength. Play to their strength. I'm quite surprised that they were given Pilot Wings Resort. It doesn't really make sense.
No.
Retro, who've just done Donkey Kong, and they did the Metroid games, then they were given Mario Kart. It seems a bit of an odd mix.
But how much were Retro actually involved in this? Did they not just do course design?
I don't know. It's to the point where on Chart Track, the UK chart listing company, they even list Retro on the development side.
Because I always
they're normally very accurate.
I always imagined it was just Retro doing some of the course design and lending some of the assets, and then Kyoto EAD did the. You know, the engine and the actual core gameplay.
As far as I'm aware, Retro were told to focus on the retro tracks, the classic tracks, and Nintendo did all the new ones.
Okay.
Just to speed up development a little bit to, you know, get the game out before Christmas.
Okay.
Oh, so doing the enhancements to the retro tracks and adding in all the hang gliding sections and things like that to that.
I'd imagine that's probably what it is, yeah.
Interesting. So out of you guys that have all played it extensively, I'm the only one that's not touched it other than in hands-on events. Would you say that it's possibly your favourite 3DS game so far?
No.
Rudy?
I haven't played the game yet.
Oh, you haven't, sorry. Aaron?
This is my only 3DS game, so yes.
Right, okay, by default it wins.
Yes.
Rudy, you've only played it at events.
No, I haven't even played the game at events.
Ah, right. Wow. Okay. So,
I tried Super Mario 3D Land, but not Mario Kart 7.
Right. So you have less experience with it than I do. Okay. Fair enough. Well, all right. Ross, you said no. Mike, you said no. What are your favorite games for 3DS, if you don't mind me asking?
Actually, Ross, was yours a definite no, or were you wavering?
I was wavering. It's the most fun still, I think, because once you do get online, it's you can still have a fun time. But the best game my best game on 3DS is Ocarina of Time 3D, I think.
And mine is Ghost Recon Shadow Wars still.
Right. Ah, nice. Good choice.
Thank you.
Rudy, what's your general favourite 3DS? Yeah, I mean, I know you've been enjoying Tales of the Abyss. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit, maybe.
Yes, maybe a little bit, yes. Mm. I have only 4 3DS games so far, and 3 of them are remakes, since Pilot Wings Resort is the only original one, and I have also Ocarina of Time 3D and Star Fox 3D, but so far I'd really say that it is Tales of the Abyss, because it's, I haven't played the original yet. Well, it's my favorite game. It's a thoroughly enjoyable game, and it's also, for the most, well, pretty much the first big RPG to come out for the system with a really, really good graphics in a RPG on a Nintendo handheld. But at the same time, it feels a bit like a cheap port of the PS2 game, because you can't really see any enhancements taking advantage of the 3DS hardware. Even the textures look, from a screenshot comparisons, they look more blurry on the 3DS than they did on the PS2, and the 3DS is supposed to be a more capable hardware.
Mm.
The 3D effect is also not always really good. There are also some technical issues, particularly on the world map, where there's a lot of fog, of distance fog, to limit the clipping effect, which wasn't on the PS2 version. Mm. The North American version on the PS2 also had some major slowdowns on the world map, which haven't been corrected in the 3DS version.
Oh.
And also, yeah, there's a fair bit of clipping on the world map in the 3DS version that wasn't there in the PS2 version.
Right, so room for improvement then. Moving away from the 3DS, obviously the big game at the moment is Skyward Sword. Now there's some controversy about how good it is. Personally, I gave it a 10 out of 10. What do you guys think of it?
Before we progress, I'd just like to say we're not talking about anything beyond the third dungeon. So if you've not played up to the third dungeon, there will be spoilers up until that point. We're not talking about anything beyond that, though.
Thanks, Mike.
Don't worry.
Hmm. So who agrees with the 10 out of 10? Who doesn't agree with it?
I don't agree with it, but it's a fantastic game. It just has a few problems that stop it from being that masterpiece that Galaxy was and Wind Waker was, and, well, perhaps I shouldn't have said Galaxy because that's not a Zelda game.
Okay, well, Ross, other than potential motion control issues, design-wise or visually or the way the story is explained, do you have issues with those sides?
It's gameplay-wise.
Hmm.
I won't go into it because it will spoil later parts of the game, but there's gameplay problems which I didn't like.
Okay. Does anyone else have any issues with the style of the game?
For me, I think it's good. It's good gameplay-wise, but it feels a little dated the way Link moves. He just feels a little stiff to me, and I mean, they're completely unrelated games, but I've just come off the back of playing Uncharted 3, where Drake moves so smoothly, maybe a little too much, but jumping from that to Link, he's just almost, he feels blocky in the way he moves. He'll jump, he won't quite grab a ledge, you have to be quite specific. Running up a ladder, if he misses, it'll just run directly up the wall. You can do that countless times before actually grabbing the ladder. You know, it'd have been easy if you could just press the button kind of near it and he'd grab it or something. It's not kind of, it's almost like you want him to just grab things and he just won't. It just feels a little bit dated. It works, but I think for the next installment, it just needs to, just minor improvements like that, you know, will make it perfect. Yeah. I do agree with, I think as far as Wii games go, it's definitely a 10 out of 10 game.
Mm.
It's my favorite game on the Wii. It's just a shame that it took, what, 5 years for it to arrive? Yeah. This is what the Wii is all about. It's executed perfectly. Motion controls, for the most part, brilliant. But I don't think it's quite the best Zelda in the series, but definitely one of the best.
Yeah, I enjoyed it more than Twilight Princess. As I said, Wind Waker's my favourite Zelda game. I don't know if they can beat that again.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Mike? Because your opinion seemed to go up and down, didn't it, as you were playing through?
I disagree with the 10 out of 10. I'm not sure I've actually decided on a final verdict myself yet. But I found that I really enjoyed the first few hours of the game, and then I found myself pretty disappointed for a further few hours. And it was only at the end of the second dungeon that it picked up again for me. So it was a bit of a roller coaster for the first 10 hours for me. I just genuinely thought the pacing was great at first, and then the pacing went off kilter for a while, and then before it finally found its feet again.
That was more or less the same opinion of what I had. It starts off really fantastic with lots of cutscenes and all this beautiful orchestrated music, and then once you get to the first area, the forest area, it feels a little bit too familiar. Every Zelda game seems to start in a forest area, and I found it got quite dull at that moment, all the way through the first temple. And that the boss on the first temple, by the way, I've never had so much problems with a Zelda game before, but it was partly due to my lack of knowledge of the controls, I would say.
See, that's strange, because I had never had any problem with that first boss. I thought it was really cool. The sword fighting boss, this is, isn't it? Mm.
I thought it was awful.
It's your first encounter with one of the main bad guys of the story, isn't it? Lord, how do you pronounce his name?
Lord Girarim?
Something like that.
I think it's Girarim.
Girahim.
Girahim.
I think.
Girahim.
So that's a whole topic in itself. How do you pronounce the new guy's name? You're like, Lord. You bad guy sort of person. What's
Demon
your name?
Lord. You.
You with the strange tongue. Because there's a very creepy little scene where he kind of comes up behind Link and pops his head around and his tongue's all over the place. It's a bit weird.
Also threaten to murder him in that scene?
He does, and then kind of changes his mind, like, I can't be bothered.
I thought that was quite interesting, the outright explicit threat to murder him in a Nintendo game. It was quite interesting. But yeah, what was your problem with that boss fight, Ross?
My problem was, from what I gathered, because of what I've heard Nintendo explain how to do it before, during E3 demos and such, was the idea was you're meant to trick him with where you hit him.
Yeah.
So you'd move your sword to, like, the right, but you'd strike him from the left. So I'd try and do that, but then it would just, as soon as I moved the Wii remote to try and swipe him from the left, it would just end up hitting him to the right instead.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I think I had that trouble myself. What I would do for that is somehow I would arc my motion instead of directly kind of swiping straight from one side, or trying to go from right to left to swing towards the right. I would kind of arc my arm around as if it was actually a sword. Exactly. It's kind of hard to explain, but that seemed to work for me.
That's exactly what I did. I did it like as if I was holding the sword in front of me. I was waving the sword from side to side, not actually making full movements, just sort of tilting from left to right. And then I'd maybe tilt right and then arc my arm around quick and smash them over the head. Instead of going from right to left, I would go from right up instead. Because, I mean, I think it sort of taught you how to do that, really, with the Bobobklims? Yeah, I don't know how you pronounce it. When you're fighting them and they're using their swords as guards, because when they're doing the same sort of thing where you're moving to the right, they're moving their sword to the right to block you. So it was just sort of like a more extreme version of that, I found.
Yeah, I also had that trouble with I'm just going to call them those enemies because I don't know how to pronounce them.
I think it's Bobobklins.
Bobobklins.
Yeah.
Bokoblins?
It's one of those words I've never had to say out loud, so.
Yeah. But yeah, I also had that problem with them where I try and hit them from a direction, but it would just end up doing the wrong direction.
Mm.
It's kind of hard to explain, but...
But did you find that you're having less problems with that as the game went on?
Definitely. It was definitely partly my fault. I found the controls had a very long learning curve.
Yeah.
And it wasn't till right near the end of the game where I sort of picked up the controls. And you kind of have to actually learn how to defeat enemies. Because I was defeating some enemies wrong. Even simple enemies at the beginning, like, you know, the things that spit seeds out.
Yeah, the Deku Babas.
Yeah. Mm. I nearly died.
You've got to use the shield, Ross.
And I only used the shield in Skyward Sword twice throughout the whole thing.
But that's how you beat Deku Babas. You use the shield.
No,
you can
you
use
don't.
The slingshot instead.
You don't. This is how you do it. You play it like Wii Tennis, right? You move Link. This is how I do it. Feels really good.
You bat the seeds back at them?
Yeah. No, it's really
I never
good.
Thought about that.
It's really
no, I've
good.
Never even considered that.
It's like Wii Tennis. This is how I defeat them. You sort of like move Link around and like you time it so that the seeds come at you like a tennis ball and you fling your moat like a tennis racket and it feels so satisfying and it works. It's fantastic.
Quite an interesting way of doing it.
I'm going to have to try that.
I just automatically do that with shield because that's how, you know, you were taught to do it in previous Zelda games.
Right, whereas I did what Rudy did and used the slingshot.
Yeah.
Stun them, dash up,
and then
hack away. Mm.
Well, that's quite interesting then. It just shows that Nintendo have created just a simple enemy like that. People have learned to defeat it.
Three different ways, yeah.
Three different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I like this. We're all talking so positively, despite the fact that we, you know, in the review topic, so many people complain about the motion controls and, oh, my Wii Remote Plus is rubbish and my Motion Plus attachment's terrible, this game's awful. There's actually so many different positive aspects to it.
Yeah.
I think this is the learning curve at play.
Exactly. Part of why I loved it so much was because it had that sense of familiarity. And yet there were all these little subtle nuances that were added in to make it special and fresh. So you had these fresh new puzzles, you had different ways, different techniques to kill enemies. There was the flying mode, which is brilliant with the motion controls. Taking off on your, what's the bird called?
It's a loft wing.
A loft wing, yes. So floating around in the sky. It takes a while to get used to it first. I got a bit bored, but... Once I kind of got into the swing of things, I thought it was so graceful and peaceful.
Yeah.
There's for instance, attacking the piranha plant style creatures where you can see slits on their mouths so you know which direction you have to slash your sword in to slice them open.
Yeah.
Clever little things like that. And then the familiar settings as well that makes any Zelda fan feel at home. I liked that, and I actually liked the soundtrack as well, especially the Song of the Goddess. What a beautiful, serene tune. Some of you have issues with the soundtrack, though.
I really like the soundtrack, but I don't think it's really sort of traditional game soundtrack so much. I don't think many of the tracks are really very memorable, but when you're actually playing, they're really atmospheric.
Mm.
That's right, they're all about the ambience, which does work remarkably well. But that's the thing. I thought there'd be a few more memorable ones, but no, it was for the most part really, really nice to listen to.
Mm.
So, something I wanted to mention about the music is the soundtrack has really grown on me after I've completed the game, because what I found was there were certain bosses that had some fantastic orchestra pieces playing in the background. But because I was so intensely in battle, I didn't pick up on the music, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I didn't really focus on that, and I didn't actually hear it. So I'll go back onto, say, YouTube and have a listen to the soundtrack, and some of them are fantastic. So the soundtrack's really grown on me since I finished the game.
Yeah, yeah. Because I noticed that was one of the main criticisms in the comments section. Everyone seemed to slate the soundtrack. Because I really personally enjoyed it so much that I gave the game straight 10s, didn't I? But there was so much flack for giving the soundtrack 10. But it's nice, Ross, to hear that when you've gone back, you can actually have a true appreciation of some of the tunes. you realise that you actually get so caught up in the game sometimes, you don't even realise that there's the music going on in the background or its quality.
Yeah.
It's nice to have those little surprises when you go back.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder if people are playing with, you know, just maybe the TV speaker, or if they're playing with speakers, like external speakers attached to their TV or anything like that. Because I found when I attached external speakers, it was a lot of better experience on the audio front. And I don't know, I can't see how people wouldn't like the soundtrack. It's not a traditional soundtrack, but it added a lot to the mood.
I don't think it's so much to do with it being bad. I think it's just, like you mentioned, it's not the most memorable Zelda soundtrack for me, but
yes,
there are some really great pieces in the soundtrack.
I think it really rouses the mood up though, even if it's not memorable, like the battle music where you've got, you know, the big bass drum pumping along as you're, even if just the smallest of battles, as soon as you've pulled your sword out and you've started confronting an enemy, it really gets you into it. And I think this, you know, I think it melds quite well with the fact that you're using swordplay as well, because the fighting's a bit more rhythmic.
Yeah,
in the way you're doing it.
Mm. Bit like Wind Waker.
The main problem I had personally with the soundtrack is the lack of a distinctive track, really, that really helps you identify that Zelda game. I mean, all previous Zeldas had a specific overworld theme, which was truly memorable, like the Twilight Princess main theme, for example, for the Hyrule field, with the slight variation when you're riding Hippona. I didn't find, for example, the music when you're riding the Loftwing to be as memorable as any of the previous overworld track. I mean, the soundtrack I thought was good on the whole, but it lacked that particular track that really helps you identify the game, really. That gives it its identity.
No, I know what you mean, because, I mean, if I think back to Ocarina of Time, I just think of the Hyrule Field music instantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't really get that from this game. Even though I do like the Loftwing track, that's probably the closest thing you could get to it.
Yeah, I thought that was lacking in Skyward.
It's not as memorable.
Soundtrack.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, looking around the world so far at the sales of Zelda, it debuted quite strongly in Japan with about 200,000 sales, which for the Wii at the moment, which is dying in Japan, is pretty decent, but it's kind of dropped again in its second week. And in the UK, it's been an absolute disaster, to be honest. We're not sure about US sales yet. The NPD group sales will be out either today or tomorrow, or very, very soon anyway. But do you guys personally think that Nintendo made the wrong decision to make it Motion Plus only? Is it wrong to force people to use an add-on for a game?
Yes and no.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes because it's so hard with Skyward Sword, because if obviously you couldn't have normal controls because it's designed around Motion Plus. It's not like Twilight Princess where it was literally buttons mapped to motion. So basically it would have been impossible to do both with Skyward Sword. So it's hard to say. If I had to pick out the two, I would actually go Motion Plus now, because I don't know, it was fun. It had its fair problems. I didn't like, that's what I wanted to bring up, actually. I forgot to mention. The only part that I really didn't like was the bomb throwing. And, well, more rolling. I didn't get on the rolling very well. But other than that, as I said, I learned to use them. And I got better with them. And I didn't think it completely ruined the gameplay or anything. I thought they were good overall.
But do you think it might have restricted sales? For instance, people that only bought the Wii in the first instance to get Wii Sports and Wii Play. Those people who don't have a Motion Plus add-on or don't have a Wii Remote Plus, do you think they would turn around and think, well, you know what, I don't want to buy the bundled game with the Wii Remote Plus in, and I certainly don't want to fork out for a Wii Motion Plus add-on. You know what, forget this Zelda game. Do you think out of the mass Wii audience, which is generally casual based?
But do casual people even play Zelda?
Yeah, I'm not even sure the game appeals to them at all.
Mm.
Well, are people who's going to buy Wii Sports, Wii Play, Wii Fit, Wii Music going to be out playing what I think is probably one of the toughest Zeldas for a while? I don't think so, personally.
Well, taken from a different standpoint, yeah, maybe those casual people, well, the people you classify as casual gamers would never have played it anyway, but I do know of at least one person who is a hardcore gamer that has refused to buy the game for now because they have to buy Motion Plus as well.
Right, okay. Good point. No, was there any particular reason? Just because it's too expensive? Or?
Just because they didn't feel they should be buying another controller add-on for a single game. Because yes. they didn't want to play Red Steel 2, they didn't want to play Fling Smash, they didn't want to play Wii Sports Resort, they just wanted their Zelda game.
It's the same mindset of those, you know, with Donkey Kong 64.
Yes.
Where you had to use the expansion pack. You could not play that.
But if you're a Donkey Kong fan, you bought it anyway.
Well, yeah, it's just like all the Zelda fans have bought Skyward Sword.
Mm.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the expansion, the N64 expansion pack was always bundled with Donkey Kong 64, I think.
Yeah, because right. I got mind blown.
But it wasn't with Majora's Mask, though. Majora's Mask required the expansion pack, but it wasn't bundled with it.
Yeah.
So you had to own it to be able to play Majora's Mask. But I was thinking exactly the same as you just said, Mike. It's more of a problem that we haven't had many games that use the Wii Motion Plus so far. It wouldn't have been as much of an issue if we had if the Wii Motion Plus had been really exploited more.
But do you feel that's Nintendo's fault or third party's fault? Because Nintendo have released a few games, third parties just haven't really touched Motion Plus other than Ubisoft.
Well, I'd say it's mostly the third party's fault, but at the same time, I can also understand that they didn't want to sell their games to a fragmented Wii audience. Mm. You know, those who don't have Wii Motion Plus and those who have one.
Well, I think a lot of third parties were looking to Red Steel 2 to see how that performed, and it didn't perform, so they didn't decide to do Motion Plus.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of Skyward Sword using Motion Plus, I think, yes, they might have restricted their audience somewhat, but I think they made the right decision to make it Motion Plus only, because there are enough Motion Plus attachments or Wii Remote Pluses out there to make it worthwhile sales-wise, because they've been bundled in with the console for so long.
Yeah.
Wii Sports.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I also think if they hadn't gone for Wii Motion Plus only, we would have ended up with another situation like Twilight Princess, where your sword control is just with vague movements. That's fun, but it's not the game that they wanted to make. And I think if they'd said, we're going to forget Motion Plus, or we're just going to make Motion Plus optional, then they would have compromised their vision, and we wouldn't have had all the cool stuff that we were talking about before, like different ways to defeat the Deku Barbers or different ways to defeat the Piranha Plant style enemies. Mm. We wouldn't have had any of that. It wouldn't have been the same game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very true.
One thing that's been mentioned is, you've all kind of touched on it, that Zelda is aimed at Zelda fans, and that's it. However, Rudy, have there been many advertisements for the game over in Belgium?
On TV, yes. We have had quite a lot of commercials on the most watched TV channels over here.
And what is the approach that Nintendo is taking?
It's the Robin Williams one. In English, only with subtitles.
Okay. Because I saw over here on the UK on the UK channels the other night, they're aiming it at families. It was a father playing with his son,
and it was all
about how the father wants to look after his son and take him on adventures, and now he...
I cringed watching
there
that.
It was awful, but it looks like it's been aimed at families.
Which is strange, since it's a 12-rated game.
Hmm. The child on the video didn't look 12.
No. 12 minus 7.
Go on, Ross, what were you going to say?
There was actually another advert for Skyward Sword, which was aimed at the hardcore people.
Mm.
Like, well, Zelda fans. It had like, it would flash up like Edge 10 out of 10 in gold writing. It had like lots of dramatic cutscenes showing.
Oh yeah, I remember that as well, yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. That's actually the only one I've seen on TV. I haven't seen this new one, so.
Ah, okay, okay. So it seems like they're targeting both audiences then.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to seeing that new one though.
Maybe they actually started off with the original one. The sales were a disaster, and then they decided, quick, let's get a new advert out there quick and try and sell this to some families.
Mm, yeah, because it was aired during the Champions League game
mm.
that I don't want to talk about because United went out.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Do any of you have any particular, you know, fantastic games that you've been playing recently? Anything that springs to mind?
Summerbringer.
Ah, that's an interesting one.
DS.
That, folks, is by Monolith Soft, the people that did the fantastic Xenoblade on Wii. It was a Nintendo DS game that actually shares some features of Xenoblade, and sadly, it never got released outside of Japan. Rudy, I don't know if you want to just, before we wrap things up, just tell people what they've been missing out on.
Yes, so basically it's just an action RPG. It's in the gameplay, it's very reminiscent of Secret of Mana. Well, the Seiken Densetsu franchise for the Mana franchise. It shares a lot of similarities with Xenoblade, actually, I found. I mean, in some of the character customization options I found were very similar to what you can find in Xenoblade, in that you can customize your equipment by equipping some sort of gems that you can craft yourself and upgrade yourself. I think it's really a game that is very likely to appeal to most Xenoblade Chronicles fans out there if it had been released in Europe. And it's also rather cute on the graphic side of things, and yes, that's about it. But It's going to be reviewed on Cube 3, so stay tuned on Cube 3 if you want more information on that game.
Yes, definitely stay tuned for Rudy's review, since he is becoming our RPG expert.
Yeah, barely.
anyway. He's taking your crown, Adam.
He is indeed. When I used to have time, that used to be my forte, but I have passed it on to you.
Yeah.
So, before we finish off, we wanted to play a quick little game of Mars Attacks. For those that haven't listened to previous podcasts, our host, Ross, the lovely Ross, well, we're going to throw a few game names at him and see whether he likes them or not. Who would like
Here's
to start?
A clue. He's not going to like them.
Hopefully.
Do you want to start us off then? Someone? Not me. I've not picked my game to tell him about yet.
Do you like Okami, Ross?
Yeah, it's good.
Thank goodness.
Ross 1, us 0.
I didn't like the controls, the paintbrush controls too much. It didn't work sometimes, I found, but it was a good game.
Yeah.
I wasn't crazy about it like other people, but yeah, I enjoyed it overall. Thought it was a good Zelda experience from a third party developer.
Yes. Okay, good.
Aaron, have you got one to throw at him?
Yeah, how about Battalion Wars?
Ah, good choice.
I've never played it.
Oh.
That's no points for anyone.
Oh dear. Have you ever played the Advance Wars games in general, Ross?
Yeah, they get rather boring and dull.
They do. No.
Right.
Battalion Wars.
They start off good, right? And then they start getting like, you can't do them. They just get too hard and challenge you.
Would you say the same about Fire Emblem then?
I've never played a Fire Emblem game.
Well, if you don't like Advanced Wars, you probably won't like Fire Emblem.
I don't like RPGs that much.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Rudy's now going to go and sit in the corner and cry.
Well, I was going to say that if you like medieval settings like in the Legend of Zelda series, then you would probably like Fire Emblem games, but then if you don't like RPGs, then you're hopeless.
Your sound of disappointment was like, oh. Alright, let me chuck one out. Alright, since we mentioned it earlier, Donkey Kong 64.
Disappointment. Because the Donkey Kong Country games, they had this fantastic atmosphere. And then when Donkey Kong 64 came along, it was sort of just, it felt like a Banjo clone. That goofy, it wasn't Donkey Kong, it didn't feel like Donkey Kong, it had the goofiness of Banjo. But the original game sort of had a little bit of goofiness in the characters, but it had that amazing music and serious looking atmospheres. I don't know, I thought they were fantastic, the Donkey Kong Country games. Mm. But Donkey Kong 64 just felt more of a Banjo clone.
That's exactly what I think actually, so I can't agree less with you, Ross.
A collectathon is what I would have described it as.
Yeah, like all Rare games.
Yeah.
Have you chosen one yet, Mike? The anticipation is rising.
it's not going to be the biggest game, but LEDs.
Never played it.
Alright.
Looked a bit rubbish from what I saw.
I liked LEDs. It was pretty good.
Yeah, for our US readers, that's Elibits.
Yeah, Elibits.
I tell you what though, it did... Because, you know, when the Wii first came out, there wasn't very many games. It was sort of a dry period. That game, I was basically looking into anything just to get a new game for my Wii. So that was one of the games that sort of interested me a bit at the time. But never got it in the end.
Do you have a replacement game, Mike?
Do you like the Katamari Damacy games?
I've only played little bits of them, but from what I have played, I love the look of them, I love the music, which is absolutely fantastic. But it's just boring.
There we go. I knew that was coming.
You just sprawl a ball around, collecting a piece of junk.
It's like any football game. You just roll a ball around what is the point?
Yeah, that's why football games
it's so
are boring
cool though,
too.
Because you start off so small and then, it's so cool. It's just
that's impressive.
It's addictive. You start off really small and then you end up big and, you know, I don't know. It's.
I love how Ross has managed to get Rudy to go, oh. And now he's got you, Mike, to also go, oh.
I'm just wordless. I'm speechless because I know I'm not going to convince him otherwise, so what's the point of even trying? I love the Katamari, like, what is traditionally the final Katamari level, where you start off really small, and then by the end of it, you're just swooping up the entire universe and stuff. I love all that. It's just cool. Because every object in the game is pick-upable at some level.
To be fair to it, I haven't played enough. But, like I said, from what I had played of it, it was boring. Maybe I just didn't actually get the objective, but to me, all it was just rolling around collecting junk, and it made your ball bigger.
That pretty much is it, yeah.
Yeah, and it got boring very quickly. I love the music though, and I love the whole art style of the game. It's fantastic.
Right, well, thank you for that, Ross.
How about you try and... Ross, how about you you give us a game and we'll see what we think of your game?
Deadly Creatures.
Oh, that's okay, I like that game.
Uh-huh. I liked it too.
Mm. Very nice.
I haven't played that one.
No, I've not played that either.
It's cool. The movements of the spiders and scorpions was very creepy, but cool.
Yeah, excellent movement.
Yeah, they really did a good job with that.
I did find the environments a bit repetitive in the first few levels, but near the end, when it gets more varied and when you go inside the buildings and such, I thought it was really great.
Oh. I can't remember what it was, it's a long time since I played it. I think there was like a crashed truck, one of those trucks, and you crawl about on it, and it's like a sunset view.
Yeah.
Looked fantastic.
Yes, and if you like that kind of game, I would recommend also Mushroom Man The Spore Wars.
Yeah, Mushroom Man's cool.
Because you're this tiny mushroom, and all the environments in the game use that same kind of, you're that shrunk creature, and you can see, like, everyday life objects that look so huge compared to your character, and you can explore every corners of a single room, and it seems so huge.
That's got excellent soundtrack as well.
Also, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because all the soundtracks are made up out of, sound effects that are going on around you. Like, say, if there's a tap dripping, it'll start making the beat. And then if like a creature's scuttling along the floor, that'll make up a different part of the music. Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah. An really underrated game on Wii. Definitely.
Mm. I think that's a nice little feature, this, Mars Attacks. And if readers want to get involved, you can always feel free to, suggest stuff in the comments section of this particular podcast news post.
As long as they don't suggest Link to the Past, because I'll get killed.
Well, Ross, I think you just left yourself wide open.
Whoops.
What's wrong with a Link to the Past, Ross, for the record?
Oh, no.
I think we could possibly add another hour's discussion on if we start talking about a Link to the Past.
Yeah, I don't
want. Shall we leave it, Ross? We'll leave it for another time.
Yes, let's save that little tasty nugget for another time.